in Psalms 100. It's a very short psalm, but it's very interesting as you look at it that the subtitle is not one that isn't found in many of the other chapters. Many of the other chapters of the book of Psalm have subtitles like a Psalm of Asaph, or a for the choir director, or a song of ascent. Many times they have titles that have to do with what the song's about, or what the song is, who the song was written by, a song of Jethro, or Jethro's sons, not Jethro, whoever the other guy was. A Psalm of David. This one, though, if you look in the Hebrew, it is called a Psalm for Thanksgiving. Very appropriate for the day coming tomorrow. So look with me as we read through these five verses. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. It's a great psalm. What I want to do is share with you a few thoughts about how to do Thanksgiving right. The psalm is all about Thanksgiving. It's a psalm for Thanksgiving. And I think it directs us in this idea. Before we do that, though, let me just say there's some easy ways to do Thanksgiving wrong. For example, you can think of Thanksgiving as just being a day off of work. It's kind of missing the point. You can look at Thanksgiving as just a day to eat turkey. That's kind of missing the point. You can look at Thanksgiving as a day to watch football. That's close, but still missing the point. Yeah, that's right. We need to see it as a day of offering thanks to God. So let's look at four things that I think would help us do Thanksgiving right. And then when we conclude, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these things, just a couple of minutes on each one, and then I want to give you the opportunity tonight just to share your thanks. So be thinking as we're talking, because just a few of us, we're just family here. Just think, if you'd like to, something that you could publicly give thanks to God for. Number one, to do Thanksgiving right, we need to realize that Thanksgiving is about being a joyful person. Verse 1 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So it's about being joyful. Thanksgiving is not a morose, gloomy, sad, melancholy thing. Thank you. Thanksgiving. It's a command that we are to be joyful. And I believe that God loves joy. I really do. I believe that God gets a kick out of giggles. That's why I think He likes second graders so much. He likes children. Didn't He say, unless you become like children? Why? Because children are generally, for the most part, joyful. And they pretty much do everything they do out at full blast. Andre cracked me up this week. He reminded me of a statement that a little four-year-old boy made at the BMX track one day some time ago. And I don't know if I have it exactly right, but a little boy was playing out in the BMX track, and he was playing in the sandbox with his little cars. And a girl came walking by, and she stomped his cars into the sand. And the little boy looked at his playmate, and he said, "Girls, sometimes you love them. Sometimes you just want to hit them in the head with a rock." Now, that's not necessarily being joyful, but that's being out there. I mean, that's being honest with who you are. Okay, that had nothing to do with what I was. I just want to tell you that. I thought that was funny. The thing is, I believe that God loves giggles. I believe God loves joyfulness. And He created us to be joyful. And the Thanksgiving should bring out joy within us. It should be something that we respond to Him with happiness when we look through our lives. I believe the reason Thanksgiving is a Christian day is because we have so much to be thankful for. Our sins have been washed away. Our security and eternal security is made clear before us. We have a future that is secure. We have a new life in Jesus. We have a hope for eternity. All of these things are reasons to be joyful. And so we need to remember, joy is to be a part of our Thanksgiving. In fact, joy is so important that the Lord said, "I'm going to give it to you as strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." So His joy in our lives strengthens us. I read a quote by a doctor. And today, as I was looking at lots of quotes on Thanksgiving, I came across this quote by other people, or that other people attributed to him. So I went back and found Dr. Dale Robbins writes, "I used to think people complain because they have problems, but I have found that people have problems because they complain. Complaining never makes a situation better. Generally, it makes it worse." So, I mean, this is a medical doctor saying that this is what I found. It's interesting that in Psalm chapter 73, you don't have to go there, but Psalm chapter 73, the second half of that, in four different translations, in the American Standard Version, in the Darby Translation, in the King James, and in the Webster Bible Translation. You didn't know that Webster did his own Bible translation, did you? But he did. In these four translations, the second half of Psalm 77 verse 3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Complaining doesn't bring solutions. And so the thing is that we need to be joyful. We need to respond to the Lord with joy. You know, there's a bright side to everything. John, you'll love this. John's favorite cartoon character is Snoopy. Didn't know if y'all knew this or not. That's why I call John Snoop Dogg. No, I don't. But it sounded good at the moment. John loves Snoopy. Snoopy's a neat cartoon character. If you had to have a cartoon character as your favorite, Snoopy would be a good one. Snoopy one day was complaining about Thanksgiving. He was really complaining. Couldn't find anything good about Thanksgiving. He's a dog outside, eating out of a bowl, a dish, living in a house, dog house outside. Until he got to realizing that, thank God he wasn't the turkey. There's something to be thankful for. And so the first thing, if we're going to do Thanksgiving right, we have to be joyful. So tomorrow, wake up, smile. No punchlines. Number two, verse two. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Thanksgiving is about worshiping God. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him. It's directed towards Him. And this thing, this issue of Thanksgiving needs to be directed towards God. This issue of worshiping God. The only reason that Christians can do Thanksgiving right is because they understand that Thanksgiving is about worshiping God. But about serving God, about giving Him the thanks, giving Him the honor. You've heard the story of the 10 lepers who were healed and the one that came back. And Jesus pointed out that man's thankfulness. It's not. Actually, I wonder if that story is not about the whole world. How many people are so ungrateful for the things that they have? Just don't realize and don't give thanks. I read another story I came across today on many different, told by many different angles. In 1860, September of 1860, in Lake Michigan, there was a ship by the name of Lady Eglin, had 337 passengers on board. It ran aground or some kind of problems and ended up beginning to sink. Northwestern University had a rescue team. And there was a young man that was on that rescue team who was a trained diver. He was a ministerial student. And this young man rescued 17 people, went out into the waters and brought them back one by one, rescued 17 people. And one of the reasons he's talked about is because the thing that he would say, he did it so often and became delirious and was almost out of his head. He would say over and over, did I do my best? Did I do my best? And Northwestern University has a plaque in one of their halls dedicated to this man and asking the question, did I do my best? And they have this statement because it challenges people to do more, to try harder, to do your best, to extend yourself further. Do your best. His name was Edward Spencer. The problem happened because the water was so cold and because he worked so hard that he actually ended up becoming very sick and very ill, and he lived out the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Meager existence. Ended up having to move to the southern United States where it was warmer, and Arizona, I believe, is where he ended up settled, and he died at the age of 81. Sometime before he died, a newspaper reporter went to him on his birthday from that town, the community he was in. They realized they had somewhat of a hero amongst them. They asked him, what is the one thing you remember most about that fateful day? And he is quoted in the newspaper as saying, the thing I remember most is not one of those 17 came back to thank me. That's the thing he remembered the most about that day. And the day that he died, the newspaper had that quote in there. Someone asked him one time, surely those people are helping you in your life, maybe offering some kind of assistance. He said, no. I'm not saying that this is everybody, but we do live in a world that is often so unthankful. And we need to be thankful to the Lord and give honor to Him and be thankful to Him. Doing Thanksgiving right is worship. You know that Revelations 4:11 says that we were created for God's pleasure. And for thy pleasure, they were created. We sing that song. Thou art worthy, O Lord. We were created for His pleasure. So doing worship, doing Thanksgiving right is about worshiping God, giving that service to Him. Verse number 3 says, "Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Know that the Lord Himself is God." I would even shorten that down to say, know the Lord. To do worship right, to do thanksgiving right, excuse me, we need to know God. To do thanksgiving right. Thanksgiving is about knowing Him. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's interesting how often the Bible compares us to sheep. And then when you go do a little study about sheep, you won't be very impressed. They're dumb. They don't take care of themselves very well. They have a tendency to not follow. They wander off doing their own thing. They really can't provide for themselves. They'll follow the pack. I read a story today about a group of sheep. I think it was 1,500 sheep that followed each other off of a cliff. 480 of them died. And the other 1,020 survived only because they landed on a soft pile of wool. It's true. It was in Turkey. It was reported in the papers. And the shepherds were dumbfounded. Why would 1,500 sheep? Have you ever asked your kid, if all your friends went and jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Yeah. That's who we are. But we are so desperately in need of a Savior. And to be thankful, to do Thanksgiving right, we've got to know God. I was given a package of golf balls this week by my banker. How do I segue this? Golf balls had the name of his bank on it. And I guess it was his way of promoting his bank. And he's given us umbrellas in the past. He's given us hats and he's given me golf balls. I like golf. Golf is one of the very best sleeping sports on TV. On a Sunday afternoon, there's nothing like laying down and turning a good golf game on, because here's what you have. He's on the 18th hole, lined up for the putt. He's got about 7 yards of a slight break to the right. The crowd is silent as he lines up his putt. He's watching. I mean, you can fall asleep to that better than you can fall asleep to just about anything else. Of course, every now and then you hear, "Oh, yeah!" You're like, huh? Wipe the drool off your face and go back to sleep. You know what I mean? It's just a great sleeping sport. I love golf. Now, I have played golf a little bit. You identify with that, huh? I have played golf, and I enjoy it. I actually have 2 sets of golf clubs. I don't know why I have 2. Both of them were given to me. I've never used the second set. But I enjoy it. It's kind of fun. But when you watch golf, have you ever noticed that they have these ropes that go down the sidelines? Down the sides of the fairway, and they're to keep people back. They're to keep the spectators. They separate the professionals from the spectators. One of the best golfers of all time, his name was Jack Nicklaus. You may have heard of him or seen him, or, you know, most folks have heard of Jack Nicklaus. An interview he did sometime before he retired from the senior tour, he was asked what was his most memorable moment on the golf course in all of his many years of playing golf. And he looked back over time to one of the courses where he was going to the 18th hole, was about to win a significant major event, and as the spectators were applauding him as he walked up to the 18th hole, his little son, Jack Jr., ran out from the crowd and ran up to his dad and threw his arms around his neck and hugged him to congratulate him. He hadn't won yet, but he was about to win. It was kind of like, wow. And what was so interesting about that was this little boy, you know, running past the rope that separated everybody else. He wasn't supposed to be out there. But see, the difference was that to all those people out there, that was the professional. That was the master. That was the legend. But to Jackie, that was Daddy. That was Daddy. And the son's name was Jackie. When Jackie looked at that legend, when Jackie looked at that professional, when Jackie looked at that man that everybody admired and stayed back from because of the rope, he ran into his arms. He was Daddy. That was his boy. You see, that rope couldn't keep that relationship apart. And we are his people. We are his children. We are those sheep of his pasture. We are in relationship with God. And so Thanksgiving is about knowing God. It's not professional. It's relational. It's not theological. It's relational. It's personal. So for you to do Thanksgiving right, you must know God. in spirit and in truth. The last thing is this. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. And this is so simple. But thanksgiving is about saying thank you. It really is. It's about saying thank you. It's a simple point, but it's so simple that sometimes we miss it. You see, for there has to be a you to say thank you to. For you to say thank you, there has to be a you. That's why an atheist can't celebrate Thanksgiving. Who's he going to thank? I heard the story of a woman whose friend was an atheist, and he walked out with her one day. She was out in the nature, and they saw this beautiful sunset, and her friend said to her, "This is so beautiful. I'm just in awe. I'm just so touched. I'm so grateful to have seen this." And her friend said, "Who are you grateful to? Who are you in awe of? Who are you grateful to?" This didn't create itself. This didn't explain. You see, atheists can't celebrate Thanksgiving the way that you and I can. They don't know the Lord. They deny His existence. They don't have a you to say thank you to. But we have a you. And we can express that thanks. We can express that gratitude. We need to live thankful lives. We do. We've lost that sometimes. I read the story one time of a crowded New York bus. Very crowded in the holiday season. And as a woman got on the bus, a man saw her and stood up and offered her her seat. Offered her his seat. And she passed out. I was just amazed that somebody would offer her a seat. When she came to, she got up and sat down and looked at him and said, "Thank you," to him. And he passed out. Is saying thank you that uncommon? Well, it can be. It can be. But it shouldn't be. We are to live thankful lives. We are to live lives full of gratitude, giving thanks to Him. You know, I was studying to get our contractor's license. And since then, I do a lot of reading. And one of the things I read about the trend of building houses was that in the 1950s, there was a huge trend for an accessory to new homes. Very popular. It was the addition of a one-car garage. There's a huge trend. And if you see many houses built in the 1950s, they have them. Well, now we have two-car and three-car and four-car garages and attic space and storage sheds. And we go spend hundreds of dollars on rental spaces to store stuff that we don't even know what's in the boxes, but we got stuff and we got to put it in there. And it seems like the more we have, the less thankful we might be. We need to be thankful. We've got so much to be thankful for. We can be thankful for our health. We can be thankful for another day. We can be thankful for the stuff in our attic that we've had for 40 years. We can be thankful. We need to be thankful to the Lord. I want us to do Thanksgiving right. Not just about turkey and football, but it is about being joyful, about worshiping God, knowing God, and truly saying thanks. I want to give you the opportunity just to share some things that you may be thankful for, if you'd like to. As we kind of wrap up this time, I wanted to leave a little bit of time left. Not everybody, don't feel like you have to say something, but if you'd like to, why don't you offer the Lord or offer thanks to the Lord for something.